Are you a 3PL spending more time and money than you'd like recruiting and onboarding logistics roles? Then it's time to check out Rapido Solutions Group, the leaders in nearshore logistics staffing. Located right next door in Mexico, they have access to the freight talent you need. From carrier sales to tracking and tracing and everything in between, they can do the heavy lifting for you. So if you're ready to get your time back and want to move fast, check out Rapido Solutions Group. Visit gorapido.com to get started today. Hello, and welcome to the Bootstrapper's Guide to Logistics, the podcast highlighting founders doing it the way that doesn't get a lot of attention. We're here to change that by sharing their stories and inspiring others to take the leap.
It's a roller coaster ride. You might ultimately fail.
That's when I kind of knew I was on to something.
It was very hard.
It truly is building a legacy.
The more life you live, the more wisdom you have.
Because we are where we're supposed to be, kind of answering the call.
Don't shoulder entrepreneurship on your own.
I'm your host, Nate Schutz. Let's build something together from the ground up. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the show. This week, we are going to have a fun and wide-ranging conversation with Jason Cook, who is the founder and managing director of Ardent Global Logistics in Virginia Beach. Jason comes from a long line of entrepreneurs, so I'm excited to learn more about his father and his grandfather and the generations ahead of him that have prepared him for entrepreneurship and supply chain. So with that as an intro, Jason, good morning. How are we finding you today?
Hey, Nate. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to the conversation. I'm doing very well. Pretty energized off of a couple of weeks of being out on the road and speaking to customers and looking forward to telling a little bit of my story today.
Well, let's start. I mean, your journey starts with an airplane ride, then it sounds like, and now we're going to move over to ocean freight. So we're going to hit like all modes on our conversation today. How did you decide or accidentally, like most people, you know, fall into this industry?
Great question. So out of college, I went to get an MBA in Charleston at the College of Charleston. And when I was there, the CEO of the Port Authority came and talked about the economic value that it provides to the entire region, how many jobs it creates. And for me, I really wanted to do something meaningful. I had no clue what I was going to do. I had a degree in finance. I had a degree in marketing. So I reached out and got an internship at the Port of Charleston. Really kind of learned firsthand how the port operates and what's important to them. And from there, just fell into supply chain, fell into logistics. And I would have loved to have the opportunity to work for the port, but they said, hey, buddy, you got to go get a job at the ocean carrier and then come back at the port a couple of years later. So soon enough, I had no intention to move to the New York City area, but moved to New York and started my career with Maersk Line.
So you've done the port side, and then you move over to a steamship line. Then I know you spent time at Kuehne+Nagel, so you moved over to the freight forwarder side, and then you decided to start an NVOCC. I mean, what are you missing? Like that sounds like pretty much everything there is to know. You have a customs brokerage license, maybe? I mean, is that the only thing left?
I guess I could get one of those, but I from Maersk really wanted to like spread my wings and get in outside sales and try to knock on doors and get in front of customers. So, you know, I did. I went over to Kuehne+Nagel to do outside sales. Yeah, I learned a lot while I was there, but I kind of realized that freight forwarding sales is pretty difficult, especially if you don't have a network, especially if you don't really know what you're doing, because at that time I was over 10 years ago, and I was still learning a lot in the industry. And so I moved back to the ocean carrier side, connected with my then boss, James Houlihan, which I credit a lot of my learnings from. And he's probably one of the greatest bosses that I've ever had. And started doing import sales for CMA CGM in New York. They didn't give me any of the big accounts that the steamship lines had, and I had to kind of build a book of business out on Long Island and up in Connecticut and in Manhattan, kind of stomping the streets and selling the steamship line way. And then from there, one of the things that I really loved about the industry was just the international aspect, right?
Yeah.
You know, talking to people in Vietnam, talking to people in Asia, you know, talking to people over in France on a daily basis, or in Copenhagen, you know, when I was at Maersk Line, and just, you know, the real thing that energized me at first, it was the economic value that it brings. You know, it's really like kind of the backbone of the economy. People buy stuff at stores, on the shelves and online now. But what they don't realize is it got made from somewhere and it got transported to go somewhere else and then made it to your doorstep. No one really sees that, but it literally is the driver of commerce, right? And so ocean container shipping is something that I felt was really stable and wasn't going to go anywhere for a long time. And it's been an industry that's literally grown tremendously year after year. Since the container was invented.
1955, I think his name is Malcolm, and the first container ship was the Ideal X. I was actually in an economics class in a port city when somebody came in to talk about supply chain, and I left that class and changed my major on the spot from finance to logistics. And then I went off and got my MBA later. So I feel it may be a connection to you, Jason, because we've followed different routes, but we've had a lot of the same milestones of education experiences and getting into the industry. The international aspect to me was perhaps the most fascinating just culturally. I grew up, or I, you know, was born and raised in Minnesota in the middle of, you know, nowhere, yet the town Duluth was a port city that brought in grain and shipped out grain all over the world and taconite, you know, to make steel products. And it was a small window into the outside world that, you know, once I got a job in freight forwarding and got to spend some time traveling the world, you realize how dependent we are all on each other. As a country, most countries can't feed themselves completely or manufacture for themselves completely. We need global trade to survive. And it's a global industry, but the relationships are personal. They're one-on-one, whether it's a, you know, person that you're typing an email to in Germany or you're on a phone call with somebody from Japan. You really do get to see the full breadth of cultures in the world in a way that I don't think you can in most other industries. It's a privilege, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really one of the things that motivate me the most. And me personally, I am a globalist. I really agree with free trade, and there's surpluses and deficits in different countries. But one of the things that is really apparent to me is even though we speak a different language, or, you know, we grew up in a completely different part of the world in a completely different hemisphere, and maybe we look a little different as well, we're all the same in the fact that, you know, we want a really good, happy life. We want health, and we care about family, right? So food, shelter, water, health, family, and being happy. And everyone is exactly the same all over the world. And I'm blessed that I get to work with different people, whether, you know, they're in Brazil, Argentina, Australia, just trying to collaborate and trying to help customers move freight all over the world, whether it's air freight, ocean freight, doing the customs, delivering it to the door. That's what we do.
I know that technology has been sold to us as it's going to connect us and make us closer and all of that. And yet you shared, you just got back from a whirlwind tour of, you know, 2 weeks traveling around and talking with folks, and that, you know, you noticed on the airplane, nobody's talking to each other because everyone's got their face buried in their phone or with their headphones in. How do we live with technology without it overtaking us and eroding that the relationship piece or just the common humanity? Like, we don't even make eye contact with each other at the grocery store anymore.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, the world changed a lot in the past couple of years, where technology was a blessing. because everyone had to stay at their home and couldn't really go out. We were still able to conduct business. We were still able to connect, you know, albeit, you know, via a video or by your phone. So in that regard, it's great because you were able to connect. But now I think the pendulum is swinging where nothing beats kind of getting out in front of customers and meeting them face to face and breaking bread and having a breakfast or a lunch or or a dinner. But yeah, I was on an airplane last night, and it was really interesting because no one talks to each other on the airplane anymore. You know, they're kind of listening to their music or doing their work, or so it does seem that technology has taken some things away that I think it's going to be a pendulum where we're going to swing towards some things. And then we're going to realize, oh, maybe we shouldn't be as sucked in to that. Let's really focus on getting in front of people. So, you know, it's really great to have Zoom calls with customers. It's really great that we don't have to get on that plane to go all the way to the West Coast to get something done. But it's also really great to make that investment into creating personal connections and relationships with customers and seeing people face to face. I think, you know, like you mentioned, I was on a roadshow going to see customers in the Midwest and in the Ohio Valley, and just sitting down in person, you know, hearing that what we're doing as a company is impactful for their business, help them write new sales. You know, they came to us whenever another company said it was impossible, and we did the impossible and made miracles. And because of that, the customers had no clue how big of a fiasco it was on the backside of the curtain, but, you know, the trade show goods were there, so that they could write a lot more orders, and, the management knows that Ardent was the company that was able to deliver. That's really special. You know, it's really great to hear from myself as well, firsthand, that our company and our team was able to deliver. That's really what we're all about.
I mean, it is a relationship-based industry, no matter how you look at it. I had a chance last night to meet up with some old friends that I went to graduate school with, and we haven't seen each other in several years, and sat down at the table and ate food and laughed and, you know, shared memories and told stories and did updates about our families and our careers and all of the things that go along. And I looked down at my phone and realized we'd been there for almost 4 hours, and I hadn't looked at my phone once. I hadn't been distracted. I was fully present, and it made me realize how oftentimes I'm not. And just the simple act of getting together face to face around a table with people that you care about, it was such a stark contrast to what a lot of life has become. And so I'm challenging myself now to schedule the lunch and get in the car and go meet your friend or go connect with somebody that you haven't connected with in a long time, because we don't know how much time we've got. This is every day is a gift. And if it's customers or if it's carriers or people in the industry or just your family, it's something not to be taken for granted. Speaking of family, that's where I was going with all that, was you shared that one of your heroes is your dad, and that he always was at your ball games. He was always prioritizing family activities, despite having to run a business himself and being super busy. What was his story like, and how did that impact you?
We'll be right back.
Have you heard about Bitfreighter and the EDI revolution? Bitfreighter helps companies automate communication with their freight partners through unlimited messaging and quoting. Traditional providers can't say that. The Bitfreighter team is also available 24/7 and responds immediately by phone, email, or yes, even text. Legacy providers can't say that either. So if you want to scale your operations to save time and money, come join the EDI revolution with us. Visit bitfreighter.com to get started today.
That's a really great question. You know, my grandfather and my father both were general contractors doing commercial construction. And so growing up, I always loved the dump trucks and the excavators and being on a job site. And, you know, when I was 5 or 6, I would be with my grandfather on the job site, you know, learning and seeing them conduct business. So from an early age, you know, I had been exposed to business, you know, to doing deals, to delivering for customers. And so my father also had his own commercial contracting company. And it was amazing because he would always carve out time to have the flexibility to coach our team. And he would always, you know, make sure that he made it to all the basketball games and all the football games. And so that's something that, you know, I loved him for and the lessons that he taught me. But then when it was time, I kind of realized that I didn't really want to get my hands as dirty in commercial construction. So I didn't know that I wanted to follow in that footsteps. But I knew that I wanted to forge my own path, right? I knew that I wanted to kind of have that flexibility to be a leader, to grow a team, to provide for my family, to provide for our team and try to grow a business. I had no clue what that was going to look like. Even all the way up until right before starting Ardent, you know, I was peering through different, company listings, whether or not I was going to try to like raise money and buy a company or what. And then I think the biggest blessing to me was the opportunity that was thrusted in my lap when the market really shifted and customers were really in need. It kind of just like hit me with a ton of bricks right in front of my face. Like, hey, this is it. You know, you have 10 years experience, 12 years experience in this industry. You know the customers. You worked in the headquarters of an ocean carrier, so you understand how ocean carriers worked. You spent some time at a global freight forwarding company, so you know the culture and the type of people to get to move freight. And so that really inspired me to just go out on my own and see what I could do. And that's what I did. And to be honest, like I had no clue how it was going to work. I had no clue how I was going to do it. For like 3 months, I had my NVOCC license. I had an FMC freight forwarding license. And for 3 months, I just kind of sat around and didn't do anything. You know, companies like Costco and Walmart were buying and chartering their own ships just mm-hmm. to get space in a really tight market. So I was like, you know, hey, if they're doing that, how am I going to get any space on ships? I'm just one guy. But one day it was one customer who was pleading with me. He hadn't had a booking in over 6 weeks. No one's responding to his emails. No one's able to get any space. And so I used my network and relationships and sent some emails over to some partners in Asia and was able to come back with a booking with one container, with one booking. And from then it was just off to the races, right? So it kind of snowballed into, you know, I called 3 or 4 of my other customers in the New York region and said, hey, you know, if you need any help, let me know. I'm happy to try to help. And they're like, oh my gosh, where have you been? Why haven't you called me? I've been needing help for the past 4 or 5 months. Like, yes, here's everything. Right, here's what I need. And I never would overcommit. I was like, okay, let me see what I can do. I'll get back to you in a couple of days. And sure enough, it just kind of worked. And from there, you know, we hired some people to help us do the operations. And I kept calling more customers and they kept needing more help. And I kept making more bookings. And that's kind of how it started.
I was chatting with Stefan Mathis, who's one of the co-founders of Molo. And he was describing how people overcomplicate what we do. And when starting a business, there's a business plan and there's a forecast and there's, okay, we need a CRM and then we've got to do this email marketing campaign. And all of a sudden it becomes this jumbled system. And he goes, no, it's really straightforward. You ask the customer for a shipment and then you ship that, and you do that well, and then you invoice them and get paid, and then you do it again. That's it. And the simplicity of what you're describing is really cuts through all the noise of somebody had a problem that you were in a not a terribly unique position to be able to, well, you didn't have some massive advantage over anybody else, but you knew how to solve that problem. I'm going to use my network and get space and offer really good service, invoice the customer, and then ask for more freight. And in the midst of all the, you know, growing tech stacks and all the noise, it really can be that simple. And the strategy is working for you.
Yeah, Nate. I mean, at the end of the day, it was simple. One of the things we like to say in our internal meetings is, you know, what we do is simple, but it's not easy. Right? Uh-huh. So if I would have known early on that it was this simple, I would have done it 10 times faster and 10 times over. But it's definitely not easy to deliver for customers, just offering a heightened level of service. But those first 4, 5, 6, 10 bookings, you know, you're talking about technology. I just kept everything on an Excel spreadsheet. I pulled out a Word document and took an invoice form and typed our name and manually typed in the invoice. And yeah, like you said, ask for a shipment, see what customers need help on and get that part done, get a booking confirmation. And ship it and invoice it. So, you know, early on, it was just me, no systems. Now we have plenty of good systems that help us maintain efficiency and deliver milestones and things for customers. But yeah, simple.
The lesson, the difference between simple and easy, I learned very painfully from my dad. I got into, in my early 20s, buying old fishing boats and fixing them up. And I didn't want to buy ones that had really bad paint jobs because that's what people see when they see the cosmetics, not necessarily, you know, the function. And so I was always looking for ones that looked nice, but you couldn't buy them because they were higher priced. And I'm talking like a boat that was I buy off of Craigslist for $800 and fix up. And my dad's like, no, you want the ones that are really ugly looking because those are the ones that you can put work into and sell for more. It's really simple. All you got to do is sand the hull. Oh, okay. So I went out and got an orbital sander and I strung up my boat in my garage from the rafters and started sanding it. And it's like 14 hours later, I was done. And it was so hard. And I was sore and exhausted, and I called my dad, and I said, I thought you said this would be easy. He goes, no. I said it would be simple. All you had to do was sand it. And you know how to sand. That's easy. Or that's simple. The easy part is, no, that's deceiving, because I bet your shoulder hurts really bad right now, doesn't it? I'm like, yeah, I'm never doing this again. And that lesson has always stuck with me of the difference between the two. And yeah, that's today's wisdom from Nate's dad.
Well, I'll just make a comment, Nate. I mean, I think that's really great that you learned that lesson early on. I think it's a lesson in life that hard work pays off. You know, everyone in today's age, they want an easy button, right? Mm-hmm. They want things to be done for them. You know, they think it's easy for Amazon to ship packages within a day. But the fact that you learned firsthand that, yeah, things are simple, but you have to work hard to get it. And then the fact that hard work pays off, because I'm sure it was really nice whenever you got that boat sanded and sold it for more than what you bought it for. That's a great lesson in life that I think everyone needs to learn it.
So we've got boats in common. We've got logistics, freight forwarding, dads and family that support us. As you look forward, you know, what do you hope your next 5 years looks like, or what path do you envision for yourself and for your own family?
Well, I think, like I mentioned earlier, we're all the same all over the globe, right? And we want health and we care about our families. So I've got three young boys, all under 4 years old. So I've got a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 10-week-old, and a wonderful wife, Madison, who really holds down the fort and you know, takes care of the whole entire household. She actually has 4 boys, myself included. So, you know, really what's most important for me and kind of it's also part of our culture as a company in Ardent is we're all very like family first. If anything ever happens, take care of your family. I'll tell a quick story of, you know, at a company, making sure that your employees know that you care about them really makes the difference. So in 2017, I got like a terrible phone call where my mother had passed away suddenly in an accident. She was riding her bike on the side of the road and was struck by a car and instantly passed away. And it was the worst day of my life.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So I had to call my boss on that day. He's like, hey, man, tragedies happen. I'm headed home. I don't know when I'm coming back. And then just having him support you and say, hey, we'll take care of everything, right? Like, you just let us know. You know, I know bereavement says it's only 3 days long, but you know, take all the time that you want, and we'll pick up the pieces when you get back. And so I had another instance at another company where, you know, I had a son that was in the NICU, and I had to, you know, make sure my son was okay. But their opinion was, well, you're probably gonna have to go on unpaid leave and, you know, figure it out when you get back. So just having that stark contrast of like the culture of companies where one is more of like a, hey, well, family's first, you know, look after your family and we'll take care of you, to another one like, well, you know, good luck with that. It made a big impact on me. So as a company, being, you know, having gone through something like that, I think it's really important that, you know, family is something that we all need to take care of. So I think I meandered a little bit on your question of
next
5 years.
This is better. This is more significant. Yeah. I love hearing where you're going. My condolences. It sounds like it was a very difficult stretch for you, and yet your positivity is signaling to me like you took something from that and it changed how you lead. And then seeing the difference of another company not responding that way, there are life experiences that are helpful for leaders to have. I think parenthood is one of them. If you work for a boss who doesn't have kids or doesn't know what that's like, it's hard for them to empathize with, yeah, we didn't get any sleep last night because, you know, we've got an infant, and yeah, but the work still needs to get done. And not having that life experience is one example, and there's many others, like losing a close family member, of course, that makes us more empathetic to other people. It makes us better communicators when we can put ourselves in their shoes. And it's industry agnostic. It has nothing to do with supply chain. It's just that you're right. These are universal parts of who we are as humans that is so easy to forget when you're trying to make the quarter end numbers or, you know, achieve some big objective, and then life happens and all the things that were super important an hour ago are suddenly irrelevant. And now you're taking that and you've put that into your company's culture, and then that spreads to the families of the people that work at Ardent, and it will influence them in one way, shape, or form on their journeys. And that's where I get excited about. We've got a community of entrepreneurs and supply chain that are helping each other behind the scenes and supporting each other. And the idea that we want to attract the ones that have those types of values, then when you're, you know, doing commerce with other people, you're dealing with humans. you know, who have values and a purpose in their life greater than just making money. And you can get a sense of belonging, or I don't want to say safety isn't the right word, but camaraderie, that there is a right way to do business. There's not like a best, forget the business strategy, there's not like a best ideal thing, but there's a right way to do business. And it sounds like you are well on your way doing it.
Yeah. You know, family is really important. And so I hope that everyone at Ardent knows that, you know, I'll support them when it comes to, you know, taking care of your families and trying to make sure that they have a good life, right? So, you know, work to live, not live to work type of lifestyle. And then on that point, you know, building that culture inside of a company and then finding customers who share that same culture, I think is actually, you know, one of the most important things, because every company is different. You know, their leaders are different. You know, the way that they're taught and coached of how to do business is very different. So, you know, one of the things that we're on a quest is everyone inside of our company shares a similar culture and a similar North Star. And then we're really keen on making sure that our customers kind of share that, and we enjoy working with them.
No jerks allowed is a good rule.
Yeah, that is a good rule.
Well, Jason, thank you for opening up and sharing your story. I think what I am drawing out of you is you're so steady and measured, but I don't. It's not calculated. You're just being kind of who you were made to be in a difficult industry, in a turbulent time. And ocean freight is again has gotten very challenging recently with the news in the Red Sea and the unrest that's happening around the world. And I wish we could have had this conversation in 2021. Also, I would love to have seen what the firefight was like, because it was a, we'll say, dynamic period in ocean freight. And yet you've got this just calmness about you that is really pleasing.
Well, I appreciate that. Sometimes I tell people, like, well, I still don't know what I'm doing, but I wake up every day and, you know, I'm excited, I'm energized, and just doing it, right? And I think that's one of the things that I try to tell other people. It's like, hey, just do it, right? Like, just get out, get up, get going, and make it happen. And mistakes are okay. I know that I'm going to make mistakes. I know that mistakes are inevitable. And I think the most important piece is to learn from those. Mm-hmm. So, you know, similar to, I think, what you said early on, is you've learned so much over the past year or two talking to all of these different entrepreneurs and bootstrappers in logistics. And I've learned so much the past year and a half, 2 years, just doing things that I've never done before in my life. You know, just being willing and open to make a mistake, but making sure that you learn from those. So yeah, I've just learned so much. And I know that although I say I don't really know what I'm doing, it's clear that what we're doing is resonating. It's clear that what we're doing is positive. You know, talking to so many different customers about, you know, they can rely on us, and they love different people on our team. And, oh, she's on it. You know, she answers quickly. Yeah, I love it. And I'm energized. And I'm one of those ones that wakes up early on Monday, and I'm excited about the week. And as the week winds down on Friday, I'm like, oh, where'd all the time go? This week went by so fast. So, you know, having a lot of fun. I think we're building a really great team. And yeah, just getting out there and doing it, you know, getting our hands dirty, rolling our sleeves up.
Where can people go to learn more about Ardent?
You can go to our website, ardentgloballogistics.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Jason Cook. You can follow me on Twitter at JasonCook55. And, you know, you can send me an email. It's Jason@ardentgloballogistics.com.
Jason, thank you very much. I'm sure somebody's going to want to connect with you to either learn more about your company or just connect with you and learn more about your journey. There's a whole range of founders out there, and I have a special affinity for ocean freight because that's where I got my career started. So I'm really happy to see you having success, and I wish you nothing but the best going forward. We are all rooting for you.
Awesome. Thanks, Nate. I enjoyed the conversation.
Have a great day. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Bootstrapper's Guide to Logistics, and a special thank you to our sponsors and the team behind the scenes who make it all possible. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the podcast to get the latest updates. To learn more about the show and connect with the growing community of entrepreneurs, visit logisticsfounders.com. And of course, thank you to all the founders who trust us to share their stories.